Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. This week's podcast is brought to you by Adams Independent Testing. You can find Adams Independent Testing on the internet at www.hempinspection.com. That's www.hempinspection.com. Or you can give them a call at 888-897-HEMP. That's 888-897-4367. On this week's podcast, we're going to talk with Adams Independent Testing CEO and co-founder Kia Mikish about crop testing and hemp education. But before we start, we do want to remind you about the Hemp at the Crossroads event coming up February 4th and 5th at the Embassy Suites near the Indianapolis Airport in Plainfield, Indiana. Again, that's February 4th and 5th. You can get more information by going to the Midwest Hemp Council website. Now let's get to this week's podcast with Kia Mikish from Adams Independent Testing. Kia, how you doing? And thanks for being on the program this week.
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Always excited to be able to talk about hemp and the folks that are involved in that world and make it happen for the rest of us. Let's start from the beginning, Kia, and tell us what Adams Independent Testing is all about and what you folks do there.
Yeah, so Adams Independent Testing is a hemp lab. So we will test your hemp to verify that there aren't contaminants in it, such as mycotoxins, pesticides, heavy metals, and we'll also check the potency to verify that your crop is not going hot above the total THC, mm-hmm. and also how many cannabinoids are in there, like CBD or CBG.
Okay, so basically you're a one-stop shop. You give them everything they need to know with testing of their hemp plant.
Yep.
And for the folks out there that are just tuning in that have not planted hemp before, they're looking at planting maybe next year, maybe 2021. So they're trying to get all this information in and figure out what is what. How much territory, how much area do you cover, and what is that area?
Yeah, for being able to test hemp, you can actually ship it anywhere in the nation. So we do testing for people in Florida, in Michigan. We're located in North Dakota, but we do a lot of testing in Indiana, mm-hmm. Ohio, all across.
Say North Dakota one more time.
I know, I have a very strong accent.
Well, it's neat. It's neat to hear those because we're in the Midwest, so it's interesting to hear the different accents from around the country when we do the podcast. But sorry to put you on the spot there. I thought it was just kind of neat.
That's okay.
So in the Dakotas then, you're able to basically test anybody's plants because they can send those to you. So folks that have planted hemp and have maybe not had great results with their testing or had problems with their testing, and again, as I said, we always have people tuning in that are just getting involved and interested in hemp. What is the process and how do they go about sending that to you and, you know, that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's a very easy process. We try to make it as simple as can be. If you are dealing with a hemp field, you want to sample it as best as you can, like the state would sample it. Mm-hmm. And every state samples very differently, so that's very good information to know how your state would do it. And really, you just take the clippings, and you need about 30 grams of wet hemp for a potency, and you're able to put those in just Ziploc bags and ship them. If it's hotter, if it's in the summer months, we usually like people to send those overnight or at least 2 days, and maybe throw in an ice pack, but otherwise it's nothing too crazy.
How long do you think it would be before the plant would be ineffective or the testing would be ineffective if the plant is after it's been cut?
After it's been cut? If you ship it right away, things should be good. But if it's sitting there for even a week, it's not too bad. If people are drying it, a lot of people will cut it and then dry it down. Mm-hmm. And so it works that way as well. We do moisture adjusted results. So it kind of takes that part out of it. Now, if you're sitting there and have the plant out for months and months and months, your cannabinoids can change.
Sure. All right. Now, also tell us about Adams Independent Testing. And again, they're a sponsor of the podcast this month. So we really do appreciate that, Kia. And folks can find you at hempinspection.com, www.hempinspection.com. I'll also go ahead and give that phone number. That's 888-897-HEMP. 888-897-HEMP. That's 4367. That'll be listed on the Midwest Hemp Council website as well, so you can get that information and get in contact with Kia and Adams Independent Testing. But let's talk about Adams Independent Testing as far as the framework. How long have you guys been in business, and what drove this company to start offering this service?
Yeah, so we're actually a third-generation grain testing lab, and with our other company, our sister company, North Dakota Grain Inspection. And we have been doing that. That's been around for 50, 60 years. Mm. And Mark and myself, we are the two that started Adams Independent Testing. And that's my brother. He's actually the person, if you call that number, he's likely the person you'd be talking to.
Gotcha.
And we, so we've been working on the NDGI side with grain for our whole life with our dad and grandfather. And so testing commodities that are being bought and sold between individuals is something that we know in and out. We've been doing this forever. And so when hemp came around, we were getting asked nonstop by people, are you, if we plant hemp, are you going to test it? If we put up a processing area, are you going to be able to test for us? And the testing is different than how you test grain. So those of you that are listening in that are, grow wheat, corn, soybeans, the testing is very different than what you're used to. But we wanted to do some research on that. And what we found is at the time when the Farm Bill first came out, there weren't a lot of people doing testing for hemp. And the people that were, it was an extremely lengthy turnaround time for people, weeks and weeks in order to get results. Mm-hmm. And you were generally dealing with individuals that didn't know a lot about buying and selling commodities such as hemp or grain.
Right.
And there's a lot to that. So a lot of those places, they 9 to 5, they shut off their phones and you can't hear from them. And any of us that are in this type of business know that you're working all the time. So Mark and I were looking into it and found that we felt we could provide something different to the industry. So that's why we decided to come in, found ways that we could provide quicker turnaround time and provide a different type of customer service experience in being more of a partner with people instead of just a lab you have to deal with.
Right. And of course, yes, there isn't a 9 to 5 type of job in farming. There is no rush hour. But unfortunately, you have those 18-hour days sometimes, and it's hard to get to a phone. So it's good to know that you're there and available. And the other thing we certainly want to hit on, there are fly-by-night operations that have popped up in the last couple of years in the hemp industry. And that's leaving a lot of people scratching their heads wondering, well, who can we trust? This person, I've talked to them. I looked them in the eye. They looked like a legitimate business person. They talked the talk. They knew what they were talking about, but in the end they didn't provide the results that I needed, or they took my money, or what have you, or just vanished. So it's good to know that we're dealing with a company here that's been around for 50 or 60 years dealing with the agriculture community.
Yeah, there's definitely, we've run into a lot of that in the industry as well. Happens a lot in new industries.
Right, right. And I will say, by the way, that Kia does, she warned me before we started, she had a head cold, not COVID. We are socially distancing here several thousand miles or several hundred miles. So we're all safe here. But I've kind of got the sniffles too. So I guess I bring that up in case people hear that going back and forth. I guess we'll throw that out there. Although you're doing a fantastic job, Kia. So no problem.
I don't normally sound like this.
No, there you go. But at any rate, let's talk about what got you personally interested in the hemp industry. Again, this is a family business, working with your father, your grandfather in the grain industry. You and your brother jumped into the hemp industry. Who pulled who into the hemp market there?
Yeah, my brother and I, Mark, we had been talking about it for a while before the Farm Bill had finalized, and something that we were really interested in. We were really passionate about the plant itself and what it can do for people, how it can heal people, help, and just the opportunities that it can bring. And we were excited that it could align with something we already knew a lot about and mm-hmm. had expertise in. Mm-hmm. And so we brought it up to our family, and hoping that they would be in line with wanting to do that.
Right.
And luckily that worked out, and we came up with our business plan and just started moving forward as quick as we could to get something up and running.
Was this in order to help the existing business, or I guess I'm not asking if it was struggling, but was there a lifeline that was needed, or was this just an opportunity that they were doing well with the grain side, so they were able to put some resources into the hemp side?
Yeah, no, things have been going well on the grain side. We're one of the largest grain inspection agencies. We're in 9 states on that side. And so we really love what we're doing there, but we know grain, and hemp is something that's new and exciting, and you're learning every day and get to do something fun and exciting for other people that are learning every day too. So we wanted to do something to help the industry as well and put a little excitement into our lives too.
Sure.
So we've done it as a complete standalone company, and it's completely separate. So a lot of labs will have it as kind of a side thing of what they've been doing on top of what the equipment is used for other things.
Right.
We have our equipment solely done for hemp and cannabis to just do these tests. So we have it in a separate building and everything. So we have a team dedicated to hemp.
Well, you guys also focus a lot of your resources on education in the industry, which, of course, that's time and energy that's exerted into something that isn't technically a profit, but it certainly does help the industry, and I assume that comes around full circle.
Yeah, that is my passion, my personal passion. I love this industry and what comes with it, and learning more and more every day, and the tests are complex. Extremely complex. And so there's a lot of area for fraudulence, honestly, when it comes to testing and how people use their test results.
And we hear a lot about that. That's why I brought that up earlier.
Yeah, it definitely happens a lot. I've seen it happen very, very frequently. And so what I try to do on our social media platforms, I try to do posts on educational pieces on how to spot fraudulent certificates of analysis, and just educating people in different ways that they maybe wouldn't have known of otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff to us that I can look at something and be like, well, yeah, that's fraudulent. Well, if you haven't been doing this your whole life, it's likely you're not going to see that.
Sure.
So trying to make that better for people. So I know of a lot of friends in the industry that have lost out on a lot of money because of it. So doing what we can to help.
So now the folks that are coming to you already have a built-in market there with your grain market. So you're able to use that to I guess infiltrate the hemp market using the expertise, using the historic value of the parent company. So are you getting a lot? So as I assume that builds a lot of trust there, but are you getting a lot of the, let's say, older farmers that are coming around, or are you seeing a large percentage of the younger farmers, maybe the second, third, fourth generation farmers that, you know, they do like the farming industry, but they're looking for something new? So I guess I'm asking, how does the age group break down for your clients?
Yeah, there is more of a variety than I thought there would be, but it does tend to be a little more towards younger generations coming into the farms. And actually, a lot of people that come in that don't have any farming experience, that I see that a lot more frequently than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been really interesting to see that there isn't as much overlap as anticipated between the individuals that we work with on the grain side and on the hemp side. So that's fun to see people getting into and appreciating what it takes to plant something like hemp or a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
So when you have, let's say you've got somebody that's a second, third generation farmer, and let's say they're older, and by older, I mean, I'm not passing a judgment on folks' age here, but let's say over 50 years old, are they more skeptical to the hemp market, or do they look at a company like you and think, well, you know, I've been dealing with these guys my entire life, so if they're dealing with this, it must be legitimate. Have you had folks that have made that decision based on the simple fact that of your legacy?
You know, we've talked to a lot of individuals like that, and we have, there does become a level of comfort when you're talking to someone that has been in the industry for a long time too, in a similar way. And so that has been fun, talking to people in that way. And a lot of times they've had other people in their family wanting to do it with them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it does help having that trust between two parties like that.
Do you see a lot of mistakes? I'm going off the last couple of things you said there. Do you see a lot of mistakes off the newer people coming in, people that do not have farming experience, even if they're just using very small plots? Are you seeing a lot more mistakes? Or are they more meticulous than some of the row farmers?
You know, interesting enough, I think it depends on the person, not even, but we have hemp is so different than the regular commodities like wheat, corn, and soybeans, mm-hmm. that even if you've been a seasoned farmer, you have to do a lot of research on it. And there have definitely been people thinking that since they've been farming for a long time, that hemp would be easy. And it maybe proved to be a little bit more research than they anticipated, or work than they anticipated. Mm-hmm. And on the other end, people who hadn't done farming, they didn't have a frame of reference to go against. So they didn't really, they just expected what they expected. So mm-hmm. it kind of depends on the person. It is interesting hearing the stories of what's happened. And honestly, I don't think anyone has it down 100% yet. There's still so much learning to be done in the industry, mm-hmm. which is why it's so exciting. You know, every year you can build on what you've done. So yeah, I think people have a lot to go.
And I'm going to put you on the spot here, Kia. I don't know if this is a question that can even be answered technically, but can you give an example? You don't have to name names, but can you give an example of a client that has been extremely successful with their hemp production over the last year or so?
Yeah, you know, people that I've seen, on the kind of the flip side, the people that I've seen have their be unsuccessful. So in my eyes, unsuccessful, you know, they're having to have their crop put under with it going hot. That's something that is really heartbreaking for both the farmer and anyone that's involved in the situation. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of ways to try to mitigate that and make sure that that doesn't happen. So I would say the people that are doing well, they're making sure that they're working with a lab, honestly, to make sure that they are verifying their crop isn't going hot. Mm-hmm. So we see a lot of people, I'm not a farmer, so there are so many different things out there on that side of things that you can be, that can help your farm. But right. on the testing side, to help aid that success, we've seen them doing more frequent testing, and I see people plotting their results for each different type of strain. Then they have data to look back on to the next year and see which one was doing better, and kind of project and where the crop would turn hot. Mm-hmm. And when you want to get the most out of your crop, because, well, that THC is going up, so is the CBD, and that's where you're getting your money. So you want to get as close as you can without going over. So using the data from the test results is where I've seen a lot of people get a lot of success out of.
There you go. Fantastic. Kia, is there anything else that we need to hit on that I've not covered today?
You know, I guess if people are interested in more education and things about testing, we do have a lot of stuff on our website and our Instagram and Facebook. We are posting constantly, and I do like Instagram lives and stuff like that to talk about different things that I see popping up in the industry. I'll just kind of hop on and start talking about it for mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. So if anyone is interested, they can definitely take a look at those and to get more information. Otherwise, we love to talk about it, so people can give us a call anytime if they wanted to learn anything else.
And again, the website is it's hempinspection.com. That's hempinspection.com. That's the website. How can they get to you on Facebook and Instagram?
Yep, those are Hemp Inspection as well. So we kept them the same as the URL.
Ah, there you go. Okay, Hemp Inspection. So go look it up. Kia Mikish. Kia, we certainly do appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us today and educating us and telling us what's going on in the industry and about what you guys do there at Adams Independent Testing. And we hope to get you back on in the future and get some updates and see what's going on out there.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me.
Fantastic. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks so much, Kia. That's going to do it for our show this week. This week's podcast is brought to you by Adams Independent Testing. And you can find Adams Independent Testing at www.hempinspection.com. That's www.hempinspection.com. Or you can give them a call at 888-897-HEMP. That's 888-897-4367. If you'd like more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, please go to our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com, and find out how you can become a member, get involved, volunteer, and so much more. Thanks again for tuning in, and remember to tell a friend about the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier, and we'll see you next time. So long, everybody.